How about you? Praise the Lord. We want you to turn with us to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. You have it, say amen.
Amen.
And verse number 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. The Lord would help me for a few minutes. I'd like to preach on a resting place. A resting place. The 119th Psalm, the 114th verse of that Psalm says, Thou art my hiding place, my shield. I hope in thy word. I want you to remember the last clause of that. I hope in thy word. Father, bless the reading of your word and help us to be able to take the word of God and to rightly divide it and to speak it in truth to the hearts and the ears of those who are here. May the Spirit quicken it, and may we from it receive the refreshment and the help that we seek. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
The word Shunem means a double resting place. If you follow the events in this story, you know it's one of those precious stories of a woman who starts something and holds on tenaciously until it comes to an end. The Shunammite woman finds a place to rest in a great hour of adversity. Now we're talking about adversity such as death, not just an adverse situation, but adversity who comes into our home, an enemy that is called death. We do not know the age of this woman, but we do know that she married an older man. And what her age is up for guess. But we do know that from this marriage, there was no child given them. Whether the man or the woman, we do not know. But we do know that they were happily married, for she would tell them when they want to know if she would be spoken to for the kings to help her in any matter, or for the captain of the host to help her in any matter. And she just shakes off both requests and says, I live with my people. So that shows great contentment. Contentment can be interrupted and sometimes severely interrupted. So we see this woman and her husband, two people living together and lacking something. There was no laughter in their house. He was a busy farmer producing, and she was a busy housewife. But there was no children to interrupt their day. There was no laughing. There was no game playing. They had gone on and they had gone together, which is a great sign of what family is really all about. Sticking together through the thick and the thin. Can I get an amen? Holding on to one another, even though the situation become adverse. We need a resting place, as this woman will seek to find one and find it. So do we in this day that we live. There are going to be adverse conditions. One man called it, their existence was one of those days, was dying day by day. They were getting older, they had no children, and they were dying day by day. That kind of existence. But that doesn't have to be the way that life writes your story. Neither does it have to be the way life would write the final chapter of your life. What we need in the day that we're living in is a place that we can find rest, somewhere that we can take our problems when they become more than we can carry, some place that we can go and find a hiding place from the storm when it breaks. How many know that we need a resting place? He started, and then the reason that this happens is because Elisha comes to Shunem, and when this woman sees him in Shunem, she invites him home for bread. And he takes up her invitation, and then it happens day after day when he would come. She would make sure that he had a place to eat. She offered him hospitality. Then the day came when she approached her husband, and she said to her husband, "I perceive that this is a holy man of God." Then she goes on and takes step two. "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." And he agreed. It was a good plan. It was something that could be done. And he seen that it should be done. Now he is reaching out and she is reaching out to fix a resting place for the prophet. Now remember, in that day there was no churches. There was no local minister. There was no pastor. God had a contact with his people. It was through the prophet. So it is in this time that she realizes that I perceive that this is a holy man of God. This woman wanted to join her house to God. She didn't know just how to do it, but after thinking, she said, "If we can just fix him a resting place so that when he comes by here, he'll want to turn in here and stay with us." We want that close contact with God. Now you see, there they are. He's an older man. She's a woman without an age. We do not know whether she was young and entered into a marriage with her husband or if her parents conceived the ideal and put her in a wedding arrangement with an older man. But we do know that time had passed and the woman had grown very perceptive, and she could discern what other people did not see, especially at Shunem. There were other people who had more opportunity to build him a house. No one did. But she perceived that he was a holy man of God. Just not another preacher. Just not another person going down life's road. He was a holy man of God, which separated him. For the word holy means one of a kind. That's why you have holy on the front of the word Bible. One of a kind. That's why you have holy on the front of the name of God. He's one of a kind. That's why you have the word holy on the front of ghost and separates him from every other ghost, spook and spurt. He's one of a kind. So this holy man of God was one of a kind, and she perceived it. She perceived that God was with him, that God answered his prayers, that he spoke for God. And she wanted him attached to her home. She wanted a resting place. And thought of no greater thing than to join herself hard to the house of God. As close to God and his voice as she could get. So she asked her husband. And oh, isn't that a wonderful, refreshing thing to see a woman interested in the well-being of her husband? She knew that if this man was a holy man and she perceived the blessings of God was going to come upon her husband because of the decision they were making that day. And without knowing it, he had made the greatest decision of his life. He did not know that yes was going to pronounce such a blessing upon him. You see, sometimes life's decisions are vague and sometimes seem like foggy and we can't see just the end of them. But there's some people with enough perception that they see that decisions now can affect you tomorrow. Can I get an amen? So she is about to make a decision with the permission of her husband to build a house on the wall for the prophet of God. And it was one of the wisest decisions that she'll ever make. She was just going to fix him a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And she was going to do all the cooking. She just wanted him a place to be able to lay down. Now Elijah, as we know, he had no permanent dwelling place. He went from city to city preaching and holding meetings and trying to help God's people. And he did more than his predecessor Elijah, simply because he was always looking for a way to help God's people. Whether this woman heard about it, whether she perceived it, we do not know. But we do know that she decided that if her husband would let her, she would see to it that he would have a place to turn in, sort of like a little motel room. Nothing fancy, nothing elaborate, just a place to rest. She was fixing a place to rest for the man of God, and the man of God was going to fix her a place to rest in her adversity. It actually becomes a double resting place, like the name Shunem. A place for God to rest is always wonderful. Can God rest in your home? Does the activity of your home permit God rest, or is he like the dove, can find no place to place his feet? Must he flutter back to some other place? Does God want to dwell in your home? I say, amen, he does. Shall God be able to rest in your home? That's a decision that you'll have to make as man and wife. You'll have to make room for God. You'll have to make an effort to make that room for God. You'll have to look at the things that are needed to give a place of rest. So she said, we need a room on the wall. And so that makes him close to us. We need in that room, we need a bed because he's tired, he walks. We need a stool so that Gehazi can sit. And we need a candlestick in case he comes in at night. And a candlestick is a King James Version. And actually that would have been an oil lamp. They had no candles in that day. So we see that she had made him a place to rest. Now this couple did not understand that this was going to ignite in Elisha a desire to help them. Elisha was going to look for a way to return this blessing. He was going to ask the questions and seek an answer to find out how he could help them. So he will send Gehazi to her, and Gehazi would bring back the lady, and she will stand there before the prophet, and he would say to her, whether thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host, and she will answer, I dwell among my own people. She was not building that room for reward. She was building it because she wanted God as close to her family as she could get him. And I tell you, in 2012, that's the best guess that you can have. Get God to come as close to your house as he can get. Amen. So he seeks for a way to reward her. And she turns down his first offer. He turns to Gehazi and said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi said, you can see she doesn't have a child. They don't have an heir. When they die, their family will have no one. So Gehazi suggests that God give her a son. So Gehazi calls the woman back, and she enters the room, and the prophet looks at her and says, now remember, she's childless. Her husband is old. And Elisha says, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. You talk about rocking somebody. That rocked her. The first thing she did was to tell this prophet, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie. You can see the impossibility. You can see her feelings. She did not expect anything. Now, this was out of reason. This was beyond her even contemplating holding a son. But that's exactly what happens. God would not lie. God cannot lie. But God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. She done the best she could by fixing him a room, a bed, a table, a stool, and a lamp. She done the best she could by making sure that there was bread on the table every time he come by. And how many know that people like to be treated good?
Yeah, that's right.
So Elisha tries to repay her. And just, she doesn't want payment, but when we get to this place, we must understand that God is not a God that disappoints us. We need to join ourselves harder to God. We need to make a way to where we can get as close to God as we can. How many remember the scripture when it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you? The first step always is looking for a way to do it. This woman figured that if God is going to be with this holy man of God, then every time she could detain this holy man of God and do him good, she was reaching out to help God. Amen. So when it is in every house, we need to learn how to join our house to God. We need God. I don't know about you, but I think that I do, that I think that you do. We need to find a way to join ourselves to God. There's one thing certain. You cannot outdo God, and you cannot do without God. So the two come together. You can never outdo Him. You can never give too much. You might give too little, but you can never give too much, because you cannot do without God, and neither can you outdo God. So when you join your house hard to God, you set up a situation where blessings will come. Malachi says of our God that He can open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. That's our God. That He can rebuke the destroyer and the devourer, and that He can bless your crops till your barns are full. That God can do things for you that nobody else can do. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
So He brings joy to this house of loneliness. And within a year's time, there's sounds of laughter, pitter-patter of little feet. Now she's got somebody to chase. Now she's got somebody to bounce on her knees. Now she's got somebody to look after. She is now a happy woman. And then all of a sudden, on a day without any expectation that it would be a bad day, she gets him delivered back from the field. She bounces him on her knee till noon, and he dies in her arms. You see, now she needs God. And now she needs a resting place. You may make it a long time in life until you need God. And you may be able to go a long time without rest. But sooner or later, you're going to need both. You're going to need God to give you rest. So what does she do? What does she do? She thinks. She makes the decision. She understands that unless I get a resurrection, unless God resurrects my son, I've lost him. So she gathers her son up. And where is God? You remember Elisha, don't you? He came back to the Jordan without Elijah. And he questioned God and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he took the only thing that he had to give him any rest, And he took the mantle and smote the water, and the water parted, and he went across. This woman looks at her situation and remembers, I built that house. I bought that bed. I made those sheets. I put that table in there. I put the stool in there. I put the candle on the table. And he's my answer. He's the closest contact I have with God. So she takes her boy over to the wall, climbs the steps, turns the bed back, lays her son down, amen, pulls the sheet up, amen, goes out, goes to her husband and said, I want a young man and a mule. The husband has no idea. He said, it's not a holy day. Neither is it a feast day. Why do you want the man of God? There are people who can never see anything other than the religious rut they're in. We only need God on special days. This woman saw that she needed God every day. And her going after God was merely going to this man of God because this man of God represented her God. And this man of God was her contact with her God. And this man of God, if he would speak a word, could bring her son back. This man of God could produce a resurrection. This man of God could ask God, as he did for that child. Now he's going to ask God the second time to give her back her baby. She is not going to leave that man until that man has done everything he can to get an answer from God. Oh, hallelujah. This woman of faith now, it's climbing up a different plateau. She's climbing up higher. Her faith is challenged. She is now looking into adversity that is as dark as the midnight. She is now looking at a day with no hope. If she does not do it within 24 hours, she will lose her son because they will bury him within 24 hours. Amen. So she gets and she tells the driver of the mule, don't slack your hand. I'm racing against time. I'm racing for my boy's life. I want my son back. And the only way to get him back is to find the man of God. So he is at Mount Carmel. Shuman is 20-some or more miles from Mount Carmel. She gets on a mule, and this young boy is driving the mule. That means that he will not let that mule stand still. That mule is moving, and it's got on it the great Shumanite, and she is holding on, and they are going to Carmel. The man of God sees her coming. Doesn't the Bible say that? He sees her coming. That's a Shumanite. Gehazi, go and see what this woman wants and ask her, is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And the woman said, it is well. She didn't want Gehazi. She wanted the man of God. There are times, my friend, when nobody but God will work. There's somebody here today that needs this message, and I'm going to tell you that you've kept me up a lot of hours. You've kept me busy all day yesterday, and I'm here with a message from God for you. And I'm here to tell you, you need to move your house closer to God because there's a day of adversity coming, and you're going to need God close to your house. So she got behind Gehazi. And then she grabbed the prophet by his feet. Amen. She got right down before him. She grabbed him by his feet. Gehazi came to thrust her away. And he said, oh, no, no, no. God's hid this from me. He didn't tell me about this. And this is as much surprise to me, Gehazi, as it is to you. But we're going to hear her out. And it's in that time that she gets right down to where it is. And she would tell him, didn't I tell you not to do that to me? Didn't I tell you not to give me a child, and now God has taken my child? She said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? You can hear the mother in her. I didn't ask for that child. You gave me that child. Now I told you, don't deceive me. Why have you taken him away from me? And she will not let him go. So the prophet agrees to go with her. They get back to Shunem. He opens the gate to the compound. He walks up the steps to his room. He opens the door to his room. And there he finds the boy laid upon the bed. He shuts the door. The mother is now outside. The man of God is inside. And he begins to pray to God. Nothing but a resurrection. Nothing but a resurrection. Nothing but a resurrection. You see, it's not a multiple choice. That boy has got to wake up. How many understand medical terms that if you go without oxygen to your brain for a few minutes, the odds of you ever being normal again are gone. Now this boy has laid on this bed dead for hours. I don't care how fast you drive a mule. 20 miles is 20 miles. And she had to go 20 miles and then come back. So she's 40 miles. It's late in the day and hours have passed. Nothing but a resurrection. Nothing but a resurrection. Did that mother believe that God could give her a resurrection? Oh, yes, she did. She said, the same God that caused me to conceive, amen, and bear this child is the same God that's going to give me back this child. And therefore, she waited outside. And the Bible tells us as the inside battle goes on, look at it and read it yourself when you get home. The first thing that he does is pray. And then he puts his hands on the boy's hands, his face on the boy's face, and he lays his body against the boy and continues to pray. And the first thing that he noticed that he's winning the battle is warmth comes back to the boy.
Thank God.
But that's not the battle. He will do it the second time and the boy will sneeze seven times and all of a sudden the boy is alive. Because God cannot fail.
All right.
I said God cannot fail.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I tell you, the first step to victory is always getting as close to God as you can. Getting as close to God as you can. Getting whatever it takes. Being ready to pay the expense. The woman said to her husband, let's build him a house on the wall. Let's buy him a bed. Let's buy him a table. Let's buy him a stool. Let's buy him a lamp. Let's put it out. You know, there's times when you can invest, and people do invest. They will invest in stocks and securities and bonds. That'll pay you some money. That'll make you some dividends of money. But look at this woman's investment. She's investing in God. She's putting her money right where it's going to bring great dividends. Because I don't care how much money you got, you can't bring life back once it's gone. Money cannot buy life. Money can't buy happiness. And money can't buy longevity. But God can give life. How many remember Hezekiah, that though you're going to die, God can give you 15 years more? Oh, hallelujah. So it is right here with her. It is well, she said, when her heart was breaking. It is well, though her very heart was being ripped out of her, because she knew each hour was less time that she had for her boy. It is well. And it is well. How many know when you trust God, it is well? Amen. Concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. Jesus will say it a different way. He will say, if my word abide in you, I will also abide in you. Ask what you will, it shall be done for you. Did not Jesus say it? Then our God said, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. This mother must have read, amen, in the book. She must have looked into the scriptures. For now she's saying to that man of God, don't come out of that room without him. If you come out that door, I want him with you. That's why I went and got you. You're my contact with God. I am wanting my son back. I wish I had somebody that had a spare amen. Amen, amen, amen. There's a time when you've got to stand, and when you've done all you can do, you stand. There's a time when everything else won't work. God's got to come. And it's in those moments when faith plays an integral part of your victory. She knew where her faith was. It was in that man. She perceived him to be a holy man of God. So she moves him into the situation and puts that man of God between her and God and expects that man of God to speak for God. And when that man of God prays to God, she expects God to answer. And I tell you, you are a child of God. And when you pray, God will answer. And when you believe, God will act. And when you stand up, God will stand with you.
Right.
Nose to his nose, mouth to his mouth, eyes to his eyes. And there it was, warmth. Elisha could feel the warmth. And he lays down again upon him. Amen. And all of a sudden he knew it was his. He knew God had answered. So he gets up off of the child, and the child sneezes 7 times. Now it's absolute. Now it's positive. Now it's done. He says, amen. Here is the secret. Come and get your son. She opens the door, but before she runs across the room to grab her child, she goes back to the man of God and bows and thanks God. Then she goes over and gets her little boy by the hand, and she leads him out down the steps over to her house. And for as we know, they live happily ever after. You see, this is not just something that we need to take for granted. It's something that we need to practice. The expression of her human desire was always wrapped around her God. She wanted to do this for God. She wanted to do this for the man of God. Now she wants God to do something for her. And how many know you never can outdo God? Amen. Her attitude towards God that brought her the answer. Amen. And her attitude towards God brought her the enjoyment. And now she goes home to accept a child that's been given to her twice by God. You remember the story, don't you? The widow of Nain. She had no husband. She had no future. Jesus came walking towards Nain, and he met the funeral procession coming out. Jesus stopped the funeral procession and was moved with compassion towards that widow. He stopped, and the young man sat up, and he gave that son back to her mother, back to his mother. God can do great things. Oh, I wish somebody this morning would just shout, God can. It's just according to how much distance there is between you and the house of God. God can. Are you going to bring, there to be as much church in your house as there is in your church? Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. If there's not as much church in your house as is in here, you need to move your house closer to the church. And I don't mean physically, I mean spiritually. You need to move your house hard against the church. You need to find a contact with God. We used to have them. We used to have them. How many remember the old timers and their places to pray? Always around the house somewhere. There's praying in the barn. There's praying in the field. They were praying somewhere. They got a place to pray. How many know they had an altar? Oh, come on, shout amen.
Amen.
They had an altar somewhere. It was somewhere around that house. There was an altar. Oh, I do have myself a problem this morning. I got a bunch of folks that don't even know what an altar's for. Amen. My father-in-law had one that was probably not over 30 paces from his house. It was in a little thicket, a little old tree that had fallen over. He had knee prints in front of it. And that was his place when things got rough. That's where he went to straighten the rough places out. We need an altar. My uncle that preached the revival in which I got saved, he had an altar in a pine thicket down below the house. He went down there and prayed and fasted and sought God. And I am one of the evidences that God heard him, amen, and gave him a revival. You see, there is always, you may not be within miles of the church, but you can move the church into your house. You can move an altar that's just as anointed as this one into your house. You can move a place to pray that gets things done just like it does here into your house. And there's a time when you need a place, hard place, right against your house, just a few steps away, someplace you can go when the storm breaks. And find rest. If life seems to be passing you by, it's probably because God don't have a place to rest in your house. You say, well, I have to do it by myself. So, what's new about that? If the Shunammite had never mentioned it to her husband, it had never been done. But she did bring it up. And she did get it done. And thank God she did. Because you can see by her husband's attitude that he didn't have an idea of what was going on. Not an idea. So I ask you this morning, when times get as perilous as they are right now, in perilous times like we're living in, where is your contact with God? In a crisis time, who do you call? I live with my wife, and I'm glad I do. She's a great woman. One thing about my wife that everybody knows, she's got several places she prays. Not only does she pray around this altar, but in the morning when she gets up, there have been guys over here that have walked in on her prayer meeting and they know that she can pray. She does it every morning. She moves and she doesn't want to be moved away from the church. If something happens to me, I hope that she can always be close to the church. She is built her life around keeping God as close as she can possibly keep him. So close that you have discerned it. So close that when something critical comes on, I don't know how many tests that she has helped Denny pass. Denny calls, I'm taking a test, pray. Get back the text message, passed it, okay. You know? And he knows that it comes from God. But there have been times when you've called. Why? Because you want somebody who has contact with God. Why can't that somebody be you? Why don't you move your house closer to the house of God? You're going to need it. Your children are going to need it. The time is coming when it won't be handled by a computer. It won't be handled by social services. It won't be handled by social security. There's a time coming when we're going to have God in a moment. How many knows that? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the trumpet is going to sound and we're going to be changed. Do you think you can make up the distance in just a second? I tell you, it'd be better to bring the house of God as close to your house as you can so that you're within speaking distance, so that you're within a few steps of it, so that you live a life that's close and dedicated. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Don't you let nobody rob you of your crown. I don't care who persecutes you. You're better off with persecution. You're better off knowing that somebody hates you than to think that all men are speaking well of you and you fall asleep, amen, on a calm pond and fall out of the boat and drown. Wake up, my friend. They'll be surprised. If you've got Jesus in your life, the world is going to hate you. But that doesn't mean you have to fall. You can move your house. Join it hard to the house of God. Get close to God as you can. And be ready at any time. Be ready for everything. The winds may howl. How many know that? The storms may come and the floods may rise, but the house that is built upon the rock, when the storm has passed over and the lightning sounds no more and the thunder doesn't roll and the waters have subsided, will have stood the test. Oh, glory to God. Lord, help us to move our house that's close to the house of God and get it set up on a rock. Your children are going to need a hero after a while. Why don't you let it be you? Can you imagine that little boy years later as Elisha continues to come and he says, "Is that the man?" And mama said, "That's him. That's the guy right there. Gave you back to me. When you were dead, he gave you back to me." And that mad little boy had a hero. Oh, glory to God. I said, oh, glory to God. Let's move our house and get it as close to hard contact with God as we can get it. Because we don't know when we're going to need God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand. You're here today, and this was for you. Aren't you glad that God sees you? Aren't you glad that God is aware? You see, you say, "Well, Brother Benny, it would embarrass me for people." No, it wouldn't me. I think that would be the climax of a wonderful day to know that God had seen me and God had heard me and God was saying, just do this one thing, one thing. First seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All God is asking you is make a small adjustment to your life. Instead of pushing God away, draw nigh to God. Then let the storm come. He's a God that will answer prayer. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and you're looking to meet him, this altar is open for you. If you're here and you backslid on God, that's a word that's not used much anymore, but we still use it around here. If you're backslid on God, you once knew him and you've let your relationship fall, bring it back. Come, bring it back. Say, "God, I want you in my house again. I want you in my home again. I want you dealing with me. I want you right there. I don't mind whatever I got to do, but I want you there." How many will step out this morning and come and come around this altar and pray and take advantage of the offer that's made to you? God will make a way for you where there seems to be no way. He can do it. Won't you come? This altar's open.